Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Good morning. It is good to see you guys here today. Man, you look really good. I don't know if maybe it's the extra sun, the kind of mild summer that we're having. Maybe you got a little more vitamin D or E this summer, but you guys, seriously, are looking really incredible today. I mean, many of you are even smiling today. And at least you've got a pleasant look on your face. But wow, what we're just honored to be here today and to share the Word of God with you. We had several students from Central go to Orlando to participate in the fine arts there. And I may have the numbers wrong, but I believe there were over 4,000 students that registered to participate in fine arts. And we actually had three of our students make the top 10 in fine arts there in Orlando. Really incredible. So Anastasia Phelps, she placed in the top 10 for spoken word. Her sister Trinity Phelps placed in the top 10 for stand-up comedy. And Brooke Williams was in the top 10 for female vocal solo in the junior division. So these students did a wonderful job, and many others that were there. And so we're thankful for Pastor Steve, Jason Struble, and them that are helping our students just discover and deploy their ministry gifts. Amen. We're also glad, I don't see them yet, at least I don't think, but we're here in just a moment, guys. We're going to have our incoming sixth graders join us in service. They're usually in Central Kids, but last week we brought them in for the first part of the service to participate in communion and worship and just see what that's like. And this week they're going to come in for the preaching part and just to kind of get an experience of what it's like to sit through a service at Central before they just jump in with both feet next week. But we're so thankful for Pastor Justin and Hannah and their leadership with these kids. It's been great to connect with them and build relationships with them over these last several years. So my experience in getting to this moment today and what I would share, I was like, when Pastor Jim and Carter talked with me about this day and that we wasn't going to be in a series, and it was just kind of like, you know, just kind of discerning and figuring out where God would have us at today, you know, that's kind of overwhelming for me because, I mean, this is a big book right here, and there's a lot of incredible things to share and to dive into and talk about. But as the school year ended, and I was thinking and praying and just meditating on the direction that God would have for today, there were two words that God dropped in my heart, and it was these. It was the struggle. God began to speak to me about the struggle, and what was interesting is I found as I'd listened to the podcast over the summer from our Wednesday night series, This Is My Story, time and time again, I would hear people share very personal parts of themselves and talk about the struggle, the wrestling they engaged in through very difficult things in their lives. And so if you would today, I want to explore, I want to talk about and have us think about the struggle and that God would meet us here in the midst of it, in the middle of that. That we would embrace and engage in and allow ourselves to experience this struggle. As I said, you know, we all come in and we're looking good. Everybody's dressed up today. You look great. And those are the things that we can see on the exterior. I mean, that's the stuff that is on the outside. But I wonder if we could look at what's going on inside. What's taking place in your heart and in your mind? Because the reality is behind each pretty little package that is here today represents someone's story. It represents a struggle. The thing of it is, we get good at putting on the mask and putting on front and just kind of going through life with this, trying to put up that front, that everything is okay, when the reality is that it's not. And inside, we are hurting. Inside, we are confused. Inside, we are wondering, does anybody know what I'm going through right now? And does God even care where I'm at in this moment? The question is, I mean, what do we do when our faith journey, what do we do when it doesn't look like the victories and the testimonies of our brothers and sisters around us. I mean, the truth is, every one of us in here, we want to have experiences like the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 12. You know, there's that first section that lists, and we all want to be in that first section, right? And there's some words that are used there to describe their experience. And these are words like conquered, justice, gained, delivered, strength, powerful, raised to life. I mean, yet what do we do when our experience is more akin to the words in the second group that says tortured, jeered, flogged, chains, imprisonment, executed, destitute, persecuted, mistreated, wandered? What do we do when our life experience is more akin to the second set of words, and we are reeling, we are wondering, we are struggling with issues and difficulties? And sometimes it's not even in just these things, like our teens, our students. I mean, they wrestle and struggle with things. I mean, they're going through a huge developmental change between the years of 12 and 22. And for those of you here who have been through that, you know what that's like. I mean, it's difficulty. It is a crazy time mentally and emotionally. And they're also wrestling and struggling with questions that they have. They're because they're trying to make their faith their own. And in order to do that, they have to be able to ask hard, tough, honest questions in a safe place. There are lots of different struggles represented in the room today. And sometimes our faith journey is like Dr. Seuss's "Oh, the Places You'll Go." He says, wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. And that's what we want. I mean, that's what we hope for. I mean, we hope that that is our experience. But the reality is, except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. And that is the struggle. That is the wrestling. That is the fight that we are in. And I want to just speak over and say that it is okay to struggle. It is okay to wrestle. It is okay to wonder and ponder and think about some of these difficult issues that we go through. Austin Fisher, in his book, Faith in the Shadows, he says, people don't abandon faith because they have doubts. People abandon faith because they think they're not allowed to have doubts. And that is the reality. Sometimes we feel like we're abandoned. We're about to walk away because we feel like it's not okay to struggle, that it's not okay to think the things that we're thinking, to feel the things that we're feeling, that somehow this can't be consistent with what the believer's experience. And when we get in those moments and the enemy is in our ear, we are tempted to walk away. I remember my father, one of the most, I love my dad. I have a great dad. I'm blessed. But one of my most painful experiences growing up as a child was when my dad walked away from Jesus when I was 9 years old. My parents were saved when my brother and I were about two. And my dad, he was an incredible dad. He worked hard, was connected. I just remember the kind of person that he was when he was following Jesus. But later on, as we talked about this time in his life, he began to just struggle. And he didn't feel like it was okay to talk about things that he was thinking and feeling with anybody. I mean, he didn't open up to anybody. He didn't talk about things. And And he even began to question and wonder, you know, God, are you even there? Do you see what I'm going through? Do you know what I'm experiencing and going through? And just in that moment, he began to slowly avoid his time with God. And in this struggle, he eventually made the choice to walk away from Jesus. And I remember when he did, it was like a complete 180, and he was a different man. It was painful. It was difficult. It was hard. And thankfully, years later, God redeemed him and brought him back. But that was a difficult time. But that walking away is in the struggle, not being able to talk and open up and communicate and be honest about what he was going through. Instead of running to God and wrestling with God, choosing to walk away from God, the reality is the struggle is not easy. And what makes it hard sometimes, to be honest, is we have an American Christian culture that oftentimes is all about tension avoidance. We want to avoid the tension. And that is basically when stuff doesn't make sense, when we don't have the answers, when we don't understand, and we are in that place of tension, that we, in this American Christian culture, this tension avoidance, because we're not sure sometimes what to do with the struggle. We're not sure what to do when we are in the midst of the struggle. And since we don't know what to do with it, we oftentimes view it as a problem that needs to be solved, and we act as if the problem can be solved in one sentence. And you know what this is like because you've experienced it, and you've probably been there and said it. I know I have too. But when we encounter people that are in hard times and difficulties, it's as if we feel like we can resolve them and help them in just one sentence, make everything better. And these are probably things that either you've said, I know I've said some. You know, Jesus never said life would be fair. Jesus never said life would be fair. You know, God needed them and they're in a better place. God's not going to give you more than you can handle. What, you know, it's better than the alternative. We say these things because honestly, we are uncomfortable with the tension. We are uncomfortable with the struggle and the wrestling, and it is our way of trying to make things better. And the reality is, and sometimes we work hard at trying to make things better, but sometimes there are no words, and it's just hard for a season. The thing of it is, the struggle, it's not a problem to be solved, but it is a moment. It is something that must be experienced and walked through. You see, Paul tells us, he encourages Christians and believers, he says to rejoice with those who rejoice. And you know, we got that down. We got that celebrating, the high-fiving. We're comfortable with that, that we're good with that. But the time, he doesn't just say that. He says that we are to also weep with those who weep. And that we are to enter into that struggle and suffering with them and walk through those times with them. And sometimes, again, there's no words of comfort and peace that we can offer. It's just our presence that is there. And for those of you who have been through those difficult times, I mean, you've learned what it is like to walk through that experience. Those that have experienced the difficult days, that have lived through the dark night of the soul and have come out to the on the other side, you know what that experience is like. And you now have come out with an ability to live out what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. That God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others in their troubles. And oftentimes when we're in these hard seasons, the only way out is to just get through it. That is it. The only way to get out of the struggle is through the struggle, is through the wrestling, and it is through the difficulty. And you look at Adam and Eve, they are a prime example of a couple of people who chose not to wrestle, who chose not to struggle and engage in it. The serpent, he comes to them and he begins to talk to them and weave this narrative. And instead of struggling with the information, instead of wrestling with what they said and going to God and saying, I don't understand this. You told us not to eat of the fruit of the tree, and there's this serpent. He's saying that we can and that we should. I just don't know. Instead of doing those things, they avoid the struggle. They avoid the tension. They avoid wrestling, and they give in to the false narrative of the enemy. If we are going to get through it, we have to engage in the struggle. And oftentimes when we talk about this in church, we oftentimes refer to Jacob and his experience in life. And I mean, Jacob is one that his life is marked by constant, almost from birth, struggle, conflict, opposition. His life was marked by these things. Before he was even born, there was struggling. In the womb, the Bible tells us that he and his twin brother Esau, that they struggled together with one another. When he was born, he's actually holding on to Esau's heel. He's like, no, man, you ain't going to get the best of me. I mean, the struggle from birth, and as they grow, it continues. Their parents actually have struggle and conflict with one another because of the preferences they're showing to each brother. But the sibling conflict that comes to a head when Esau's birthright is stolen by Jacob. And eventually Jacob has to flee for his life because Esau is bound and determined to kill him. And so Jacob flees and he goes back to the land of his kinsmen, and he connects with his uncle Laban, and he begins to work for him. He works actually so he can marry his daughter, Rachel. He's taken by Rachel's beauty. He's captivated, and he's got to work 7 years. Okay, 7 years. Colton, where are you at, buddy? Raise your hand. Colton, you're not having to work 7 years to marry Hannah, right? I know, George, you might reconsider this. I mean, the thing of it is, I mean, he was really having to work hard to get Rachel's hand in marriage. It was not an easy thing. And I mean, Laban was going to see if he was going to persevere and could provide and man up and all these things, And so he struggles for 7 years. And then Laban, his father-in-law, deceives him and instead gives him Leah, Rachel's sister, who's not as pretty, who's not as cute, to marry. And so then Jacob is upset, and he's like, hey, now I want to marry Rachel. So he's got to work again to earn Rachel's hand in marriage. And I mean, now he's got two wives, and I'm going to tell you right now, you want to talk about some struggle and conflict? I'm sorry, Days of Our Lives, Young and the Restless has nothing. They cannot hold a candle to Jacob's drama and story that he is going through here. It's a mess. And so he continues to have struggle with his employer, who is his father-in-law. And his dad, his father-in-law is not wanting to pay him right. There's conflict over that. And it comes to a point where Jacob realizes, look, I cannot make it here in this land. I've got to return back home to my father's. And he packs up his things. He gets his family together. And he flees Laban. And in this fleeing, he realizes that I'm about to return to this place of conflict with my brother. And I mean, again, Jacob's life is marked by constant struggle and wrestling in these issues. And it comes to a point where he divides his family into two camps, Leah and Rachel's, and he's going to send them on ahead of them. And he finds this moment where he's alone. And I want us to look at our text today, and I want us to just look at the honesty with which Jacob comes. He's actually, we'll see here in his prayer, the struggle that he is in. At the prospect of returning home, verse 9 of Genesis 32, then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown to your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan. but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. I mean, Jacob, in his prayer, he is wrestling. He is doing that work of struggling and wrestling with his life experience. I mean, he is humbled. He is honest. He's not shying away from the reality of a situation, but he is going to God. He is encountering God, and he is that spiritual, mental, emotional struggle here with God. But then later on, we see that Jacob's struggle actually takes a physical manifestation. And his experience with this is unlike any in human history. And he actually begins to encounter a physical struggle with a person. Verse 24, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Then the man said to him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Here is Jacob, a man whose life was marked by conflict, was marked by struggle, and he engages in it. He embraces it. He wrestles with it, and God transforms his life, transforms his identity, and we can see that because he completely changes Jacob's name, which is deceiver and supplanter, to one who wrestles with and struggles with God. Then later, his descendants, what do they become known as? They are the children of Israel, Israelites, a people who wrestle with God. And we, as followers of Jesus, we experience the same as that we engage in wrestling and struggling through the difficulties of life. So there's three things that I want to leave us with today. The first one is this, that God is wrestling with you, not against you. This table actually is not just up here for my water. I need a couple of strong people that are here in the service today. And actually, I've asked for a couple of volunteers because, yeah, come on down, Colton, you're good. I can't think of two stronger young men in the service today than Colton Henning and Matthew Wagner. Let's give these guys a hand. So they're going to be my volunteers today. And so guys, come on up here. Matthew, why don't you get on this side, Colton on this side. I mean, see, and Colton's even ready. I mean, he's got his sleeves rolled up. He's ready for this. So here's the deal, guys. It's very important. I need you to listen and follow my instructions, okay? Okay, first thing is I need you both to get into this position right here. Okay, now here's the thing. Each of you will get a point every time the back of your partner's hand touches the table, okay? And you need to keep track of your own points. And when you're ready, you can begin. Okay, now hold on. Okay, hold up, just a second. You can let go for a second. Now, let me ask you guys, when I asked you guys to come up here and get your hand like this, did I say anything about arm wrestling?
No.
So what were you guys doing?
We were wrestling.
You were wrestling. Okay. Did I say anything about you two working against each other?
No.
Not at all. Or did you just assume that that was what you were supposed to do? Okay, now remember the instructions are, is you get a point each time the back of your partner's hand touches the table, and you each got to keep track of your own points. So let's find a way maybe to work together in this and try it again. You guys want to do that?
Okay.
All right, let's do it. Same position. Get in this position. You get a point each time the back of your partner's hand touches the table, and you can begin whenever you're ready. Okay. Good job. Yeah, let's get mad. Good job, guys. Thanks, man. Oh, they're awesome. I could have probably called any one of you up here. And as soon as I ask you to get into this position right here, what are we assuming? What are we thinking? Yes, we're assuming arm wrestling. We assume that this is going to be a competition. We assume that this is going to be an engagement of conflict and struggle with one another. And so what do? We begin to work against each other. When again, the reality was that was not the situation. And we honestly, if the truth is that when we get in the midst of a struggle, this is exactly what we do with God. We assume that somehow that the conflict is with God, that God is somehow working against us, that there's a struggle, but the reality is we are not wrestling against God. God is wrestling with us. It's like that tug of war, and he is behind us. He is pulling the line with us. He is not working against you. He is for you. The struggle, the wrestling is with all these other things, and it's not even with people. I mean, the Bible says, Paul says that we don't wrestle against normal things, this flesh and blood, but there's this power, there's principalities, there's an enemy that wants to take you out. And that is actually who the struggle is with and against. It's not with God. It is with the enemy, and sometimes our own understanding and trying to reconcile things that we assume that we know and understand, but we don't. Man, our human limited understanding sometimes can trip us up. Garrett and I have actually been watching Shark Week. Garrett is a shark fan. He loves sharks. And we were watching one of the episodes the other day, and it was very fascinating. Because what he and I have seen and know so far about great white sharks is that they travel alone. The males are loners. They travel alone. They're very territorial. In fact, when they encounter one another, they oftentimes will engage in conflict, engage in fight. But they were at the Jaws Island, Isle is what they call it, and they were filming, an enormous amount of great white sharks, and they were seeing things that they had never seen before. Instead of these male great white sharks engaging each other and fighting each other and warring against one another, they were peaceful, they were docile, they were just swimming around one another. In fact, sometimes they were even swimming in tandem with each other, something that scientists had never observed before in great white shark behavior. And they were saying how this could totally turn on end what we think and understand about great white sharks and their development. And what I took away from that is, like, don't we do that as people? I mean, sometimes we have a very limited view of the world. I mean, we might spend, several hours in the ocean observing great white sharks. And based upon our observation, we think we understand everything there is to know about great white sharks. And we start defining, well, they act this way or they don't act this way. And then come to find out our understanding is very limited and surface. And that is us when we struggle with God. Sometimes, again, we assume that the struggle is, that it's against him, it's us against us. But I'm telling you today, God is for you. He is not against you. That it is not a time to run away from God when you struggle. It is a time to run to him because he is with you in the struggle, not against you. Number two is when we're in it, we have to take life one day at a time. One day at a time. And I know that was a song back in the day. But there's truth in it. Because God's grace, God's mercy that he extends to us is day by day. David writes in the Psalms that your mercies are new every morning. Not every week, not every month, not every year. But God's strength and his grace is renewed day by day in us and through us. But this is the human tendency. This is our human nature, is that we engage in contingency planning. Like, we try and plan out and predict all the difficult things that are going to happen in the next several years or the next year. And we try and think and problem solve and work our way through it and figure it out. That way, you know, kind of like we're prepared. We know what's going on. But God confronts this. And if you look at the children of Israel, when they're wandering in the wilderness and they're in a place of need, and God says, you know what? I am going to be your provider. I'm going to provide food for you. There wasn't a Market Walmart down the corner. There wasn't an Aldi or a Price Cutter. I mean, they weren't farming anything. And so they were literally in a need. They couldn't run through McDonald's Colton and get a Big Mac. I mean, they couldn't do these things that we get to do. But God said, I'm going to provide for you. And he said, every day what I want you to do, I want you to go out and there's going to be this white flaky substance called manna, and I want you to gather it and collect it enough to feed you and your family for that day. But you know what some of us would do? We're contingency planners. You know what, man, it's kind of inconvenient getting up and going out and gathering this every day. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to get enough for the whole week, and I'm going to save back. I'm going to put it in the deep freeze or something. I'm going to save it back for the whole week. And when they do that, they would open it up the next day, and what would happen? It would be spoiled. It would be moldy. It was bad, because God is trying to get through to us that he's not asking us to figure out the next year. He's asking us to just live one day at a time with him in this present moment, to lean on him, to trust in him. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. I mean, each day has enough trouble for its own. And you'll get overwhelmed really quick in the struggle if you try and figure out how you're going to navigate the next 5 years. When God's grace wants to meet you in this moment today. I like what Michael Beals states in his article he wrote in the Influence magazine. He said, God gives grace for what is, not what if. God's grace is going to meet you in this moment today. And so when you're struggling, take things one day at a time. Lastly, number three, when you're struggling, be honest. Open up and reach out. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with others that you know and trust, and reach out to your own people. I mean, don't struggle alone. Be like Jacob and wrestle with God. Pray those tough and hard and honest prayers that are sometimes ugly and difficult. I mean, that was honestly, it was a recurring theme that I kept hearing throughout the summer as I listened to This Is Your Story series that we heard this summer. That we are to wrestle with God, to not be afraid to ask hard questions, to not be afraid to reach out, that we need to reach out to people. We need people who will come alongside of us. And so not only that, we not only need people to come alongside of us, but we need people. We need to be a people who will come alongside one another, others that are struggling and wrestling and having difficulty. Jennifer and I, we have a really good friend, and several years ago, she found herself in a really difficult and dark place. She began to struggle with depression, and it got severe. It got to the point where she did not want to get out of bed. She did not want to go outside. She didn't care to take phone calls from other friends and family. I mean, she began to do sometimes what we do when we're struggling through things. She just began to pull back and isolate herself. But thankfully, she had a really good friend who was observant, a really good close friend who just observed and noted kind of what was going on here. And a day came where she asked her husband, you know, kind of how she was doing, and he said, sorry, this is just one of those days where she's not going to be able to get out of bed. So her friend got in the car, drove over to her house, walked into the darkened bedroom, and lay in the bed beside her and wrapped her in her arms and said, if this is where you're going to be, then I'm going to be here too. And that's what it looks like to walk alongside somebody who is struggling. That if this is where you are, I'm here too. That you're not alone. That we see what's going on. We know what's going on. You're not wrestling in these things alone. And there are times when we're struggling and hurting that we need to be honest and we need to reach out and ask for help. And then we need to be a people who is observant and recognizing and will come alongside and help those that are going through the struggle. If we could stand together this morning, if I could invite our prayer partners.